Welcome back to another episode of the Skits and Giggles podcast. I am Pascal, and I'm joined by my co-host Bryson. How's it going today, buddy?
Hey, Skigglers. Going good, Pascal. You know, there's one thing I want to explore today, and that's what makes a hardtail rider? You know, it's something I ask myself as a hardtail rider, and it's something I get asked a lot more as a hardtail rider.
All right. Well, I guess basically you're trying to answer the age-old question of what is more fun? Is it more fun to haul ass with a beaten-up old Honda Civic around a racetrack and riding the ragged edge? Or is it more fun to do this in a dedicated race car, like brand spanking new Ferrari, all the electronics everywhere, all the assist systems, etc., and also trying to haul ass? And I mean, the question is, what is, at the end of the day, what is more fun? And I guess for you, the answer is clear.
I wouldn't really say your hardtail is closer to a Civic than a Ferrari. But mine for sure is. And I want to see that thing smoke when I get to the finish line.
Well, today we sat down with our good friend, Louisa. You may remember her from an episode on learning that we did last summer. A pretty popular episode, I must say. And original plan was to sign up to the Swiss Enduro Series in Lux, which happened last weekend. And somehow, independent of each other, we all had the fantastic idea to sign up in the hardtail category, as we mentioned on other episodes already. Unfortunately, Bryson had to, you know, nip out of it due to illness. I had to, you know, cancel because of injury. But yeah, Louisa and Telmo, they still went to Lux. They still did the race. So we, of course, we had to catch up with her and, you know, get the lowdown on how it really went. Me, myself, I actually, you know, changed sides for once. It was interesting to be outside of the race tape for a change. So I, you know, took my old camera and tried to be a media squid around the race. I did a good hike around the different stages, and I have the muscle soreness to show for it, so I can, you know, T plus 4 days, so I'm back to walking almost like a normal person now. And yeah, so Bryson, what were your takeaways from Louisa? Did her stories make you wanna go and race?
The switchback queen. Yeah, she actually gave us a good recon. At first, I was thinking, yeah, okay, maybe I wouldn't want to take my hardtail there. But, you know, as a hardtail rider, I'm just going to have to go ahead and do it because I think, you know, go for it. So, yeah, I would have. And I would have enjoyed it, I think, even if it was a sufferfest. I mean, that's what riding is all about, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It looked like a hard day from where I was standing. It was super hot, beautiful weather, though, but very hot and long stages, long race. And yeah, and people looked properly spent at the finish, and especially the guys from the hardtail category looked pretty cooked.
One idea did pop into my mind as we were recollecting over the weekend's events. And that is that I probably want to start carrying a Camelback again instead of just the bum bag. Reason being is you can fit one of those like pocket umbrellas in there and just whip it out when you're like in the lineup for the stage start. And that way you don't have the sun beating down on you. You don't have to like try to find shade and all this stuff. You just carry it in your pocket. Enduro umbrella.
Exactly. You just invented the Enduro umbrella. Rather than the Enduro banana. I love it. We should trademark it immediately. But before we start collecting all those revenues from our trademark on the Enduro umbrella, we want to say a few words about our social, and where you guys can find a little bit more information about the Skits and Giggles podcast. We are currently most active on our Instagram, where you can skid right into our DMs and follow along at Skits and Giggles. And you can find our website with all the relevant links and info under the URL skitsandgiggles.com. Also, if you guys like what we're doing and want to know what's up, just give us a follow on Spotify. Hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you'll listen to great podcasts. With that out of the way, let's finally get to Louisa and what it's really like to ride a hardtail in an enduro race. Catch you after the show. Tonight we sit down with the second fastest Heidelberger we know, Louisa. How is it going?
Thanks for the very nice intro. It's going really great. I'm currently in Ticino. Had a nice afternoon ride. Ended at the in the Lago Maggiore, and then a nice beer after. So I definitely say I can't complain.
All right. I hope the bike stayed out of the lake.
It did. It did. It also survived me just bringing it without checking much. It's still good.
Good. Bryson, how are you doing?
Poppin. How about you, Pascal?
Oh, I'm good. Looking forward to catching up on the SES Lux action. The Swiss Championship was going down this last weekend. And one thing you have to know about this group that's currently recording this episode is we have an outstanding track record of very dubious, questionable decisions. And one of those was to sign up for the hardtail category of the Swiss Enduro Championships. We thought it worthwhile to have a little chat about how it actually went down. But before we do that, we thought we should talk about the question that I was asked the most this weekend while I was also at the race, unfortunately not racing due to an injury, but I was media squidding, running around, taking photos of everyone. And I thought we would discuss the question, why would you ride a hardtail? Louisa, to start with, why do you ride a hardtail?
Oh, there's so many reasons. The initial one, I think, is I don't like cleaning my bike too much. Well, no, that's even too late. The initial reason is that I learned riding on the hardtail, and I think it's very valuable too. So it's kind of a habit. I always had one. My old one got stolen, so then I got a funner one. But for me, it was never the question not to have a hardtail. And then just from a practical perspective, in winter, I'm not sure how many of the listeners know Zurich in winter, but it's special. So yeah, let's say my dedication to cleaning my bike will not keep full suspension alive over the winter. So the hardtail, I just clean the chain and the cassette, and it's good to go again. And then whenever the weather gets better, I clean it a bit more. But that's not possible with full suspension. So that's the second reason. And then the third reason is it's really fun. I really do enjoy it. I love it. It makes every trail that you think, oh, it's boring, I've ridden it 1,000 times. Like, there's new challenges, there's new little things to do, to try, to case, to do whatever you want. There's everything. So I used to only ride it on the, like, Zurich flow trail, because that, for me, was, I just found it super boring on the full suspension. And pretty much since last summer, I also ride it a lot on the, let's say, more natural, steeper trails in Zurich, and it's, like, you have to be much more precise. You're going slower, but it's like, yeah, it's so much fun.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good pitch for a hardtail. Bryson, what is your reason to ride a hardtail?
For me, it's like a double-edged sword. So I've been riding hardtails for a while. I really enjoy it, and I think I've developed a hardtail style of riding, even as I ride my full suspension bikes. So when you are riding a hardtail, on the one hand, you have something to say, I can't do that because it's on a hardtail. You know, it's probably just over the level of the bike I have. But on the other hand, when everyone's lined up alongside the trail looking at a feature and you grease it, they're like, holy, on a hardtail? So yeah, there's like this two-sided dragon head. I don't know what you're going to call it, but it's very present and something unique.
Okay. I'm kind of somewhere in between you guys because, and there's an additional element. So, of course, I also live in Zurich. I ride all year. So it was always kind of a thing to have a hardtail during the winter, which is easier to maintain. I'm equally as bad as Louise at keeping my bike clean. Although that has changed because we have now a all-year hose outside, so I'm getting much, much better, hopefully. Because who wants to, you know, go inside, get some water, get outside into the freezing cold after you've already been outside in the freezing cold, and then no, it's just no. So yeah, I'm generally riding a hardtail in the winter. I also keep a hardtail to be dorking around with the kids on bikes. It's just much easier. I always have like flat pedals on it. I usually ride clipped in. Over the last few years, I've also kept it as a rolling spare parts hanger. So I had most of the components were like exactly the same as on my other bike. And so kept like the same rotors, same brakes, same drivetrain. So I could easily swap out if anything else was breaking on the other bike. So I could swap between the two. And that worked out pretty okay. And yeah, as Bryson says, there is something to riding a hardtail. You look at things different. You ride it completely differently. But yeah, and I think generally it's good for technique and kind of how you look at things. And it's a different kind of feeling of achievement having done a challenging trail with a hardtail than it is with like a full squish with a lot of travel. But I guess the other interesting bit is not only the why you ride a hardtail, but also what kind of hardtail, because we all ride different hardtails, and the kind of the most extreme on the one end is Bryson, because you ride a fully rigid, right?
At the moment, yeah, it's set up fully rigid. But I have a really good wheel set with Kushgore, XE, and super light tires. So it really absorbs the trail. Like I get a lot of grip and I'm never unsecure. It's a good setup, I think.
Well, and the main thing people have to know is that you actually built it yourself.
True. I took the Paul Brody frame building course a while back. Picked the Geo myself. Fully designed, fillet braised.
What do you put fillets on it? Like beef fillet?
No, that's getting.
What kind of chicken
fillet?
Paul will
get super mad at me if I call it a fillet braise.
Is it like a steak braise?
And fully specced out, fully built for me, and yeah, with the led by Paul is his. Expert knowledge helped guide every cut, every braise. So,
All right.
And it sees a lot of different morphologies. So I've had it as first a hardcore hardtail with a Fox 36 on it. DH tires. And then I went to a super light build. So basically all XC with an XC fork. And now it's kind of come middle of the road, but with a rigid fork. So it's kind of got like what I've learned from both ends of the mountain bike spectrum. And it's now suited as my lunch ride bike. So I can just pull it out. And much like you guys say, you know, it's a low maintenance affair. With the rigid fork, it's even less maintenance. I just got to make sure the chain's good.
Louisa, seeing that you were actually racing, that would be probably most interesting for the listeners. What kind of hardtail are you on?
It's not that interesting. It's like the most basic, full stock, new proof Scout. I love it. It's nice and balanced. I barely changed anything. I think it's a bike that I felt the most comfortable on, like right from the start. Not so much to set up either, so it's easier. Upgraded the fork, changed grips and pedals, and put a longer dropper post in there. And since then, haven't really changed. The decals as well, but that's it. That's all I changed. It's full 29er, has 140 in the front, which I think is, for me, kind of the maximum for a hardtail, because if you put more, then it starts, like, the angle in the front will just change too much. It starts to feel weird. Also, I think I use mostly 2/3 of it because I've put a lot of tokens in there and pushed, like, yeah, I would rather keep the geometry than use more travel. So, it's probably more of a 120 fork.
How is the O-chain working on the hardtail?
It's running great. It's much, much smoother everything by now.
You can't feel anything in your feet, right?
Yeah, it's great. No, nothing, all smooth.
All right, that is a bit of inside baseball. There was a brief moment of intellectual weakness from Louisa last year.
Rare but golden.
Rare but golden. We had dinner after, I think, the third or the second day of Enduro 2. And I only just started using an O-chain at the time. And we were talking about the benefits. And then at some stage, she really said that, ah, that sounds great. I really should put one of those on my hardtail. And so that is the running gag about this. But yes, I am not a believer in you shouldn't be using too much travel on your hardtail. I'm running a hardtail with 170 mil fork, which is a lot of fun to ride. It does pretty much a downhill geometry. It is a Pipe Dream Moxie. It's ultra long. It's very, very slack. And yeah.
But don't you get kicked? Like, if I use my full 140 travel while my rear doesn't move, I feel I get kicked so much to the front. I actually don't want to use the travel. I just want to keep the front up. Well, your front is, I guess, much higher than mine. I have, my geometry is much more conservative. So maybe that helps for you. But don't you get kicked?
No, because at full travel, the head tube angle is only around 65-66 degrees.
That's what I have like sagged. Okay, that explains it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, standing still, it's 61.5 degrees head tube angle, and so it's, as I say, it's very slack, and it's quite something to ride. It's just a lot of fun, and yes, I know people are laughing, but they have never ridden one, so.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's really not what I would seek out on a hardtail. Like, I wanted to be like nimble and direct and just have a bit more support in the steep stuff. But that's a balance, I guess. But yeah, interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean the geometry is right in the Chris Porter school of thought, right? Of like ultra long, mega slack, mega steep seat angle. The whole deal. It's got variables, chain stays, so you can change it from very, very short to not very short. So overall it is thought through. It's designed around a 160 fork. You can obviously run it with more or less. It's one of the original stupid hardtails, I guess. With that out of the way, so we've clarified why hardtail, what kind of hardtails. We signed up the four of us for the race. Unfortunately, for a couple of reasons, that didn't happen. So Bryson had been out with sickness, I've been out with injury. So you and Telmo actually went ahead.
Bravo.
So briefly, how did it go? How was it?
It has had, let's say, all the highs and all the lows, all within a day and all within one stage. No. I approached this with I didn't expect anything. I just wanted to have like a fun weekend out and see what it would be like. So that was definitely achieved. So we went out there Saturday morning, first stage, Gronka Trail. Like, no, I have to start earlier. So you go on to like lift up to Naraus in Flims, and then there's a traverse to the start of Gronka. And it's already where like packing your full face helmet and like back protection and everything, and packing your hardtail. And then you like on the way to the first stage, there was already so many kind of mental triggers that kind of signaled, okay, you're on an enduro. Like, we're in Flims, it's a traverse, this is where you go fast, you do all the side hits and everything. And But that with the full face on, I couldn't see my bike. Like with the helmet, you don't really see what's underneath you. So like, I constantly had to remind myself, chill, you are an hardtail. Be careful. Don't kill yourself on the way to the first stage, because it's usually where we race. So like, that's the real race usually. But yeah, I managed not to kill myself, but I think I already had my first little pedal wound in the shin from that one. But then I kind of understood. And that was the start. And then actually, I mean, we started training. Grunka felt kind of normal. It's a flow trail. It's gravelly. You have less grip with the hardtail, but so you have to be even more careful to not wash out anywhere. But it's kind of fine. But even then, it already dawned on me quite a bit. Jesus, that's a long stage. And then I thought, oh, stage one is going to be hard because we did the full of the Runka from the start. Then there is the long flat section in the middle, where I think on the enduro, you like, if you're not super motivated, you can just sit down and pedal and be fast. But that's not an option on the until you can sit down and pedal. We both rode with flat pedals as well. So like on the gravel, you can't sit and pedal. It's no way you just, so you have to stand pretty much, or you have to just roll. So yeah, it was standing up there as well. And then there's actually the super nice jump line after. But so there's this like sprint and then it continues. So it's all really not a short stage. And there's the jump line right after, which is kind of what I had my eyes on because I know it's fun. And I know it doesn't change much on the hardtail, I thought. But actually, there's some nice braking bumps in the landings. So almost killed myself there. But yeah, that was stage number one. And I thought that that was the easy one. And then I got the... I thought that was a tough one. But in the end, that was by far the easiest. Because it just got longer after. But the... So that's how it started. We got a bit worried on Saturday about, are we going to make it? Can we make it? Can we make it in one go? Got really worried Saturday evening when the pain started to kick in. But eventually on Sunday, we did make all of the stages more or less fine. And it was a lot of fun. So all in all, it was great. Would have been great having all of you there. Would have been much more, I guess much more incidents in many ways, in the good and the bad ones. But it was also fun. Yeah, fun as it was.
Well, I guess it was a very tough race for a number of reasons. First, it was like a really, really hot weekend. And you were standing in line waiting for the start of the stage for quite a bit.
Your understanding is correct. Luckily, we trained that last year. So I'm pretty good at that by now. It was pretty hot, but the waiting in line was at least very high. So I got a bad sunburn, but it wasn't like crazy hot on at the top of the stage. Yeah, it's better than waiting at the lift.
Of course, we had the experience last year with that, but that's a story for a different day. What is interesting, and obviously as a bystander and someone looking in from outside of the race tape, to see on from the hardtail category that there was, of course, you guys who took it semi-serious, and then there was some other guys that were really going for it, right? So I guess the guy that won the hardtail category, he was only like 3 or 4 minutes out from the overall winner. So that, you know, there's some people that can go pretty quick on a hardtail.
In Flims and Larks, yeah. I mean, they can also probably go in other terrains, but it was also, I think,
absolutely
a track that did suit hardtails in the end.
For sure. And if you compare your, so that is your second enduro race experience. The first one being the Enduro 2 in Davos. If you compare those two track styles, would you rather race the Enduro 2 in Davos with the hardtail or prefer Larks all day, every day?
Like with the hardtail, definitely Larks. Racing in general, actually none of them. But I think Davos would have been the death of me on the hardtail. Because there was way too much fast, not tricky, but chunky things in there that would have just killed me. Like, even in Larks on Never End, which was a long stage, at the end, I felt like, okay, well, here I should probably pedal with like one or two pedal kicks. I could go a lot faster, but I'll just like my hands are just going to slip from the bars. So I better break here, I guess. And this in Davos, when I think back about the stage, it's like, no, that's not fun.
So if you compare the two experiences in terms of like how, you know, what made you really tired and what made it the struggle, with the hardtail? What are the key differentiators? I guess last year at the end of the season, you were a bit fitter. Your hands were a bit more prepared on like tough long days. But which parts are the biggest difference in terms of racing?
On racing them on a hardtail, or of my experience, like what fatigued me?
Yeah, what was the hardest part racing the hardtail? Oh. Where did you felt it the most? Where did you feel it the most?
My hands, like definitely my hands. Also, at some point, my feet started, like everything that tried to keep me attached to the bike was a bit struggling at some point. And I do not think that last year at the end of the season, I would have been better prepared. I actually think I was a bit burned out at that point, or not burned out, but like really fatigued from many weeks of riding already, but not riding the hardtail. So I think that this, like I would have never been readier hands wise to ride this hardtail for almost 40 minutes of race time.
What about doing like hand exercises? Were you doing some stretching and things like that? Because even on my full suspension.
Yeah, you know, you sound like Yedi. Like, why don't you do strength training?
No, I just meant like, like on the liaisons. I don't do it. You know, where you were like conscious of ways you could.
You know, I did hand exercises. I found some really neat solutions.
Like what?
You know that what I did on Never End, whenever it was a bit less chunky, I just like moved all three of my fingers kind of up and only held my bar like that. So just to make sure that I can still move them, because at some point I just like took them away from the bar and I couldn't kind of open my hands anymore. So I just always made sure I can still move them. Then when it got really bad at the end, I did that when it was like kind of smooth and I had to brake. I just held my bar with like the second finger, and all the three others I just took up, because I knew, okay, my weight is gonna shift, like braking is gonna shift my weight to the bars. I can hold this without having any finger on the bar.
That's clever.
So that's how I solved it. It worked pretty well. I was. Because after training Saturday, Never End, I was like, okay, I'm not sure if I can ride that in one go.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my classic technique is just to take a break and chill out on the trail. But, I'm not a racer. That's a bad technique.
No, I mean, my one goal was to get through it without stopping and taking a break. I took a break, not a voluntary one, but so didn't help much for recovery, let's say.
Okay. Is it because you had some fingers in the air? Were you throwing the devil horns? Yeah. And then
did some parking exercises. Parked it.
A little ground sample.
Right in the tape.
So you're not typically doing such long stages, or at least longer stints on the hardtail, right? You're taking a break when you feel tired on a normal ride, I'm saying.
I mean, I usually ride the hardtail in Zurich. We don't have 1,000 meters of descent in Zurich.
Right.
It's just not there. So I was from the start worried about me, because I don't ride my hardtail in high alpine stuff often. I've done it a bit, but not that often. Telmo, on the other hand, rode his hardtail all last summer. He didn't have an enduro bike until fall. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to die and he's going to be fine. My very, very happy insight was he wasn't fine. He was also not fine. So he rode his bike a lot in alpine stuff, but like you take breaks. You don't just do 1,000 meters of descent at once without, checking back if the other friend is not still there.
Mm-hmm. And this just punctuates the point that we all tried to make earlier with why we ride a hardtail. We're actually just signing up for an extra challenge. You know, it's not the most comfortable way to get around the mountain, but you know that, and you basically sign up for the punishment, knowing that it might bring you something more. I mean, maybe it's a meta thing, I don't know, but that's after I started riding a hardtail as a dedicated bike. That was the one thing I just told myself all the time, was like, yeah, this isn't going to be easy, and these guys on their 160 bikes are crushing everything, and I'm going to have to like really struggle to even see them in the distance. So.
Oh. Well, we never coordinated on signing up for LAX, I think. Is that right? I think, well, Telmo and me coordinated, and the two of you coordinated, and then we found out, oh, we're all racing. That's amazing.
And then we all coordinated.
Yes, true. So, I mean, I know it. No, actually, I can't really remember from our side. I definitely know it was my idea. I definitely didn't know with which arguments I convinced Thelma to join. But why did you sign up?
I had to.
Let's see.
My better judgment got the best of me. And yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So, well, what was it? Both Pascal and I had the boys from SES on the pod, and then afterwards, you know, just through talking constantly, we were just so gung ho on joining an SES in the upcoming season. Then when the calendar came out, yeah, I guess we coordinated, but we didn't actually say we were going to do Hardtails up until right before they dropped the
until we saw you on the start list.
Yeah, but it made sense, you know?
I see.
We were like, okay, anyone can do a enduro on a 160 full suspension bike.
Exactly. And, you know, the hardtail category is there, so why not? So, you know, it sounded like a terrible idea at the time, and I was like, yeah, I need to be part of this. So
I love that attitude.
So there you go. I just signed up for it, and as it stands, you know, that's going to be my only enduro bike that is left for the rest of the summer, and so, you know, make the most of it.
Enjoy. I did it. I don't have to do it again.
Did you change anything in terms of setup on your bike to prepare yourself for this race?
Surprisingly, I actually did, because usually I never do that. I ride one setup until it's dead. But changed the rear tire to be double down, which made it possible to ride a very aggressive 1.1 bar in the front and 1.2 in the back, which almost ended my race on the traverse to Roncarreux. I was like, ping, ping, ping. I was like, fuck. I should have put some more pressure. But it actually, I rolled into that part of Roncarreux just thinking, okay, well, maybe it's not that bad and I will just survive until the end of the stage, which was quite, it was the whole rest of Bunker, but it actually was fine. So change the tire. There's another token now in my fork, which makes it 5. Also put even more pressure in the fork.
You might as well go rigid.
I recommend it.
No. There's still something. And what else? I changed I mostly just gave it like a top up on everything that was super. I bought this bike 1.5 years ago, barely changed anything. So I changed the derailleur because I couldn't really shift anymore. Changed the chain, changed the grips. Now I have to change the saddle because I broke that. But apart from that, not many changes.
And for reference, what was the rear tire before?
Like what type? I think it was Maxxis DH Front Exo Plus. And now it's a Mac. It was an OEM, so our dear friend Yeti wouldn't have allowed me to race that anyways. So now it was also his old OEM that he didn't want to use. So he gave it to me, and now he gave me the DH front, which he also is not using. So I'm just getting free tires, free tire upgrades there.
Well, with that, I think we will wrap it up for today. I guess we just wanted to give a little insight on, you know, how questionable decisions to ride a hardtail in an enduro race turn out and how it really is. I think the only thing missing that we haven't clarified is Louise's crash. So what happened there? Why did you park the bike?
It was part of all of the ups and downs of the race. It was quite early. Stage 1 on Ronca, the one that I said is actually and was by far the easiest and the most chilled of all of the stages. I felt pretty shitty in the start because I didn't feel well on the bike. It was very gravelly. I was overbraking, which makes it worse there. The start wasn't so good. Then I started feeling much better after like a 1 minute or two of the stage. And then I started to feel like really, really good. Like right where you cross over to where you could just go to the Grauberg gondola to the left, but then you drop into the woods right before the flat section. So it's not tricky, it's just slow trail, and I felt really good at that point. And I only made a slight mistake. So my front wheel washed just a tiny bit, but it would have been amazing on any pink bike Friday fields. Front wheel starts to lose it like a bit. It just gets set to the side slightly, gets hooked on something. So you get kind of back to the front. You're right on your top tube a bit. You're like, maybe I can I can save this. But then you go straight over the berm into the tape, like from full speed pushing into the berm. And I was like, okay, well, that is probably the end of it. I looked at my bike, was like, okay, my bars are going to be like 90 degrees turned. I'm like, I already had realized that I'm good, which surprised me a lot. Bars were good. Everything was good. I thought everything was good. I continued racing. I probably lost a couple of seconds, but really, really wasn't as bad as it could have been. I just came down to the stage, and sometimes after, like way after stage, I realized, okay, well, I guess that wasn't my top tube. My saddle is pretty broken. So yeah, that was stage one. Still felt good. Jump line after that still felt good. So yeah, all good.
There you go. Not much lost apart from the saddle.
Yeah, which is a bummer because I have three of them, and this I think is the newest one. It's the least creaky one.
Oh, okay. That's sad. All right. With that, we close it out. Luisa, thank you very much for your time, and we'll hopefully see you out on the trails again soon. Thanks for listening. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. As we mentioned at the top of the show, you can find all the links and the relevant info to this episode in the show notes. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, why don't you share it with your riding buddies? It really helps us grow our show and reach more cool people like you.
That's great advice, Pascal. I really enjoyed making the episode as well. And I'm really looking forward to all the cool stuff we're going to be doing in 2022. So stay tuned, guys.